Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Fertility Answers podcast. I'm Neil Chappell, your host, fertility physician located down here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and happy to finally be bringing you yet another episode to our podcast collection. I wanted to take some time to talk about something that I get asked about almost every day, and that is, Doc, can I have twins? Everybody seems to want twins. Twins run in everyone's family. The vast majority of patients that I see that want to talk about it are wanting to talk about it because they really want twins. They want to be one and done. I'm sure everybody's heard that. But sometimes people come and say, hey, I want to do whatever I can to avoid twins. And to those patients, I say, yep, me too. So I wanted to take some time and put out into the world why we as fertility physicians really try and minimize the twin rate, and of course the triplet and quadruplet rate, of course, how we think about that, why we think about that, and what are some steps to avoid and how that might pertain to your story. So first of all, kind of nature disclaimer, multiples, twins, triplets, et cetera, they happen outside of fertility treatments. And so, of course, they may happen in a fertility clinic. I tell my patients anything that happens in nature can happen in my clinic. So since multiples are normal in nature, I will, and anybody that practices fertility medicine will also have some twins and maybe even a triplet pregnancy or two in their clinic. The job of a fertility physician is not to eliminate higher order or multiple gestations, or in other words, twins and triplets, et cetera, but to mitigate that risk and keep it as close to the natural rate as possible. So that begs the question, what's natural? Well, the twin rate in 1980, and that was really before IVF and just fertility treatments themselves really got kickstarted. So it's kind of, let's consider that our baseline twin rate. It was one pregnancy in 53 pregnancies. So about one out of 50 pregnancies was going to be a twin. But it peaked as IVF got bigger and bigger and more common. We saw a peak in the twin rate of close to 1 in 30. So not quite double, but almost double. And that was in 2014. So over the next 30 to 35 years, we got really, really good at IVF. And we started getting more and more embryos and transferring a good number of embryos to try and optimize pregnancy rates. And what we saw was a sharp increase in twin rates and triplet rates, et cetera, that we needed to do something about. And we saw that kind of come to a climax in around 2014, when it went from that baseline pregnancy rate of 1 in 50 to about 1 in 30. And fortunately, I'm glad to say that that number has been steadily declining back to that baseline 1 in 50 ever since. The majority of twin pregnancies, one should know, are actually not due to fertility treatments. And I hear this quite often. And just from people knowing what I do, they'll have twins. And the first thing they tell me is, oh, my twins were natural. They're not from IVF or from any sort of fertility treatment. And I tell them that's likely the case, because actually the majority of twin births in the world are not from fertility treatments anymore. They are just occurring in nature, not on treatment, about 60% of the time. The other 40% of twins and triplets, et cetera, are probably attributable to some form of reproductive treatment. Okay. Why are there more twins and triplets in ART, in assisted reproduction treatments like inseminations and IVF? Why do we see that higher risk of twins and triplets, et cetera, in ART? Well, there's a few drivers. First of all, time to pregnancy. By the time someone comes and sees a fertility physician, they've been trying for 6 months, 12 months, sometimes years, 5, 10 years, and they're really ready to get pregnant. And so it is a natural motivation to push on the system a little bit more, try and get an extra egg or two to grow. And with extra eggs comes extra opportunities for extra fertilizations and therefore extra embryos and planting. So time to pregnancy is a big push. You know, patients are finally ready to take that step to talk to fertility doc. They're ready to push the envelope and try and risk that higher order pregnancy. And by higher order, I mean twin, triplet. Cost is another major driver. Each treatment cycle comes at a cost. Each treatment cycle costs money, costs time, costs emotion. And so that's another thing. Not only is it, I want to get pregnant faster, but the faster I get pregnant, the less money and the less investment I'll have to put into the cycle. So again, I'm willing to push the envelope here. So limit the number of procedures, get more eggs, and have more chances. And then finally, there is, you know, those two drivers are a lot of drive on the patient, but the physicians also have, you know, the providers also have a lot of drive for them. We really want to have good pregnancy rates. I want every single patient that I see to come in and get pregnant in that first month because I want to have a good reputation. I want to be known as a good doctor. And so I am motivated as well to push the envelope just to say that I got someone pregnant. Never mind that I got someone pregnant with quadruplets. I got someone pregnant, you know? And so that motivation, these are competing forces behind us trying to establish a safe pregnancy. But thankfully, again, I'll say that fertility physicians have really taken it upon themselves to have very significant, serious conversations with their patients about establishing and achieving pregnancy as soon and as efficiently and as cost-effectively as possible, but not at the expense of risking a twin or a triplet or a quadruplet pregnancy for that couple or that for that patient seeking to build a family. A case in point, we're doing this podcast right now to let folks know this is why when someone asks me for twins, I say, hang on, that may not be in your best interest. Okay, which is a wonderful self-built segue into why we care. So why is twin pregnancy a bigger deal than just carrying one, which we typically call a singleton, in case you hear me say that later on in this podcast. So why is it such a big deal to try and mitigate the risk of twins and triplets, et cetera? Well, first of all, two pregnancies compared to one pregnancy increases the risk to the mom. You have a higher risk of high blood pressure disorders like preeclampsia, blood sugar disorders like gestational diabetes, higher risk of preterm labor, and of course, with that comes higher risk of preterm delivery. You have a higher risk of something called cholestasis, where the stomach and the gallbladder don't work as well. You have higher risk of dermatosis, which is like skin alterations that happen from higher order pregnancies. Of course, you're going to have more weight gain, higher risk for anemia or low blood counts, higher risk of having nausea and vomiting of pregnancy, higher risk of having reflux, and then and other GI complaints like constipation, et cetera. All these kind of coalesce into a much more difficult pregnancy on the mom's body. Fetal morbidity, meaning that it's also harder on the baby. So anytime you have increased risk for preterm delivery, there is a very long list of all the complications that can come along with that to the babies that are involved in a twin pregnancy. And depending on the kind of twin pregnancy, depending on how many pregnancy sacs there are and how many placentas and whether or not the twins share a placenta or don't share a placenta or share a sac and don't share a sac, and that's probably beyond the conversation here, those risks are higher or lower, but regardless, they're higher with two or three or four than just with one. Finally, there's also higher risk of complications in patients, in babies, even after they're born. And part of that has to do with their risk of being born early, but also having to share that space with another pregnancy or two makes them a little bit underdeveloped compared to the singletons. And then, of course, there's cost. So yes, it might be more expensive to achieve a pregnancy because it might take another treatment cycle or two, but the cost of twins is approximately five times higher than the cost of singletons, both in medical costs and just social cost. It is significantly more expensive to raise twins than it is one baby at a time. Triplets have been reported to be 20 times more expensive. So this is something we really try and mitigate because it's a stress on the pregnancy and it's a stress on the baby, but it's also a stress on the family raising those twins compared to just raising one at a time. And I guess it's worth pausing to say that I'll just reiterate again, twins, triplets, they happen in Mother Nature and all pregnancies are a blessing. And all life is sacred. And I'm thrilled for my patients that are pregnant with singletons, and I'm thrilled with my patients that are pregnant with twins, albeit it does happen not quite so common around here, I'm thankful to say. But at the same time, what we can do to mitigate risks and help patients have healthy, happy pregnancies, that's the goal. That's ultimately the goal. So let's talk about what we do to try and mitigate those risks. The highest risk, and I think this is probably one of the things that my patients are surprised by not infrequently, the highest risk as far as treatments. So what kind of treatment can you go through to get pregnant? The treatment that has the highest risk is actually inseminations, not IVF. I have patients probably once or twice a month come in and say, I don't want to do IVF. I want to do inseminations because I don't want twins. We have to pause and say, well, actually the risk for twins is much, much higher in inseminations than IVF. So we'll talk about why that is. But IUIs, much higher risk. The twin rate in an IUI pregnancy is anywhere from 5 to 25%, depending on what kind of medications you're using. most of the time when we're doing inseminations, and if you have any questions or about the review of what an insemination or an IUI is, we have a podcast on IUI earlier in this series. But if you're just using pills like Clomid or letrozole or even a natural cycle insemination, you tend to have a lower pregnancy rate because there's some good internal mechanisms inside the body working to try and limit the number of eggs that can be ovulated in those cases. And so that twin rate is reported to be 7 to 12% with pills like Clomid or letrozole, and maybe a little bit lower with natural cycles, according to some studies. But regardless, usually less than 15%, I think, is a safe space to say. Where you really get into trouble is something called gonadotropin IUIs, and that's where we give direct injections of gonadotropins like the FSH and LH that help grow the eggs. Those go straight to the ovaries. So they bypass all the internal negative feedback checkpoint mechanisms that are in place in the body that allow for selecting just one egg. And so you can have an over response and grow 2, 3, 4, 5 eggs. And if you're not careful, you'll release several eggs out into the body that can be fertilized. And with inseminations, fertilization and implantation all occur in the body, or in vivo, as we say. And so we can't really control how many eggs are fertilized or how many eggs are implanted. So you got to be really careful with the gonadotropin IUIs. Those twin rates or triplet rates can be as high as 20 or 30%, depending on the protocol and depending on the response. That being said, pure gonadotropin inseminations are exceptionally rare these days. They're only used in certain patients that have certain indications. And thankfully, that has resulted in a significantly lower multiple gestation or multiple pregnancy rate in the world. And that's why we're seeing the twin rate decline like we are. We monitor our cycles very closely as well. We cancel cycles, and that's a frustrating thing to do. But if I see somebody in the middle of a cycle and I see 2 or 3 good looking eggs in that cycle, then I'm going to have a conversation, say that this cycle may be a little bit risky, and we need to have a conversation about maybe just waiting the cycle. You had an abundantly higher response than we would want. We might need to wait this cycle out. And while that's frustrating, again, we're trying to mitigate risks. There are some instances where you could actually do a small aspiration of 1 or 2 of those follicles to try and reduce the number of eggs that are ovulated. And there are, in certain instances and with certain candidates, that may not be a bad idea. What's worth noting here too is the line that we're walking to try and help with pregnancy rates, because the reality is that most of the studies out there on inseminations and pregnancy rates show that while, yeah, having an extra egg or two recruited in a cycle can slightly increase the pregnancy rate compared to just having one follicle respond to the cycle, the pregnancy rate goes up a little bit. So like, let's say I'm giving letrozole or Clomid or even a little bit of injections in the certain right kind of patient, and I see 2 follicles instead of 1, the 2 follicle patient might have a slightly higher pregnancy rate, but their twin and triplet rate is so much higher. And so the question is it really even worth it? Because you're helping your pregnancy rate by just a few percentage points while adding on so much more risk. Better to have a good, strong monofollicular or single follicle response with a good solid pregnancy rate and minimal risk. And that's always the goal in an insemination cycle. So that's with IUIs. What about IVF? Well, IVF, the name of the game is single embryo transfer, single embryo transfer, single embryo transfer. Frankly, the leaps and bounds we've made in technology with embryology and with being able to fertilize and grow eggs into embryos and test them and have good selection criteria and good embryo transfer protocols, our pregnancy rates in general across the world are just too good to justify doing 2 or 3 or more embryos to be transferred in a single cycle. It just doesn't make any sense anymore. If you look at the data around the world, pregnancy rates for an embryo transfer should be somewhere between 50 and 60%, with live birth rates somewhere between 40 and 60%, depending on the patient population and the embryo and the selection criteria, et cetera. That means, just in general, roughly half the embryos you transfer should result in pregnancies across the board. And with some patients, it's even higher. So transferring 2 embryos just doesn't make a whole lot of sense these days, because the pregnancy rates are just too good. And this is thanks to a lot of things that that we could talk about in other podcasts in more details, but pre-implantation genetic testing, following morphokinetics, while controversial, can be informative in some patients. The extended culture, being able to grow embryos past day three into day four, five, six, now seven, gives us a whole lot more information about which embryo is worthwhile transferring. And then there's more innovative testing strategies that are coming out called non-invasive testing, where they're actually able to look at some of the proteins, the genes, and other things expressed in the media surrounding the embryo that give us even more information. It's an exciting time to be following these things. So with IUIs, limit the number of follicles you recruit. With IVF, limit the number of embryos you transfer. So what happens if you are already pregnant with twins, triplets, or quadruplets, the higher order multiples? There is the option, of course, of what's called reduction, and that is its own. It comes with its own set of concerns. Obviously, there are some folks that are very ethically conflicted about whether or not it makes sense to do a reduction. And to be specific, a reduction is where a procedure is performed where they actually try and terminate one or more of the pregnancies in the uterus. And this is obviously controversial and can be a difficult psychological thing to handle. It is not considered first line. But there are some physicians and some patients feel that by decreasing a quadruple pregnancy to a twin or a triplet pregnancy or even a singleton pregnancy allows for that one or two pregnancies remaining to actually survive and have better outcomes. And that is objectively true in some instances. But this is a hard conversation, a hard decision to make, certainly. And should be individualized to the patient with significant counseling from their providers before moving forward. And like I said, this is not considered first line. So that's a lot of information to say that twins and triplets are important pregnancies that occur in nature. And so, of course, they occur in the fertility clinics as well. We try and limit them because we want to optimize the outcomes for pregnancy for mom and for baby, so you can, you know, build your family in a safe and significant manner. The two follow-up questions that I always get are, wait a minute, isn't the pregnancy rate for a single embryo transfer lower than a double embryo transfer? I hear you on the twins, Doc, but I want to transfer too because I'm ready to be pregnant now. And I don't think it's fair to compare a double embryo transfer to a single embryo transfer from the standpoint of pregnancy. So this is what I tell folks about that. Yes, a double embryo transfer is a few percentage points higher in pregnancy rate than a single embryo transfer. But a single embryo transfer and a single embryo transfer actually has a higher cumulative pregnancy rate than a double embryo transfer. In other words, if you were to say, take those two embryos, transfer them in two separate cycles, compare that to the double embryo transfer, which is a little bit more apples to apples, you're more likely to be pregnant with two consecutive single embryo transfers than you are with a double embryo transfer, meaning putting both back at the same time. So I would take that under advisement because that's really apples to apples. And then finally, what is the risk for twins in IVF? So even with a single embryo transfer, does that eliminate the risk for twins? The answer is no. Actually, an embryo can split into twins. Like I said, it happens in nature. It can happen here. And that's exactly what does happen. It happens around 1-2% of the time. Some studies say 1.3%. Some studies say 1.6. Some crazy studies say as high as 9%. I have no idea how that could be. In my career, I've had two twins where the single embryo transfer split. And I've certainly seen it a number of times from other colleagues. So it can happen. Again, the baseline risk seems to be somewhere between 1-2%. So even with a single embryo transfer, you're not completely protected because Mother Nature always finds a way. But I hope that at least this has been a reasonable summary of how we think about all things related to twins, triplets, quadruplets, etc., how we try and strive to get patients pregnant as quickly, efficiently, and as safely as possible. I appreciate everyone tuning in. I'm as always open to feedback. You can email us at podcast@fertilityanswers.com. It's been great finally getting back on the podcast train to drop off another episode. And I look forward to coming back soon with more content. So thank you all.